Welcome to another episode of the DAT Fitness Business Podcast. Tom Blackman with Dan Smith. Hello, Dan.
Hello.
Hello, Tom. And today we're talking about developing the brand. And it's a special day today because it's podcast 20. Amazing. And I think we mentioned this on the last podcast, is that most podcasts don't get past podcast number 20, do they?
No, right. We're in the top 1%.
We're winning. Hashtag winning.
I feel like we should have some kind of celebration, but I haven't got anything yet.
I've got some party poppers here. Nice. The ones you pull, you know. Anyway, moving on. So today we're going to talk about developing a brand. And I know we've sort of covered this before because we talked about niche and we talked about identifying ideal customer and stuff like that. But I suppose there's a lot of people that talk about you don't need to have a brand. It's not essential. But I do disagree on that. What do you think?
I think there's people get mixed up. I think they get confused between seeing a business and they think, right, that like a brand, for example, like, I don't know, a logo, Coca-Cola, for example, like it's a business, isn't it? So that's a brand as well. But when you think about what we're doing, I see it as different. Like that personal brand comes into what we're talking about here a lot more. So for me, it's really important having a personal brand it depends on what industry, but in the coaching space, without a doubt, because people connect with humans. And if you can go down that route of having it more as a personal brand, then you're going to end up with a better business at the end of it. I don't know what your thoughts are.
No, absolutely. I mean, because there's two things. There's personal brand and then there's business brand. So you'll have like Richard Branson, that's a personal brand. And you have Virgin, which is the business brand. Mm. And if you look at where you've got sort of very sort of focused heads of the corporations, such as Richard Branson, if you look at their followers on, say, like Twitter and Instagram and all that sort of stuff, there's always more followers of the personal brand than there is of the business brand. So the importance of having that personal brand, I think, is important.
It's big, isn't it? Because when you think about, I thought about it in that way, but I didn't think of that example, but I thought about like Tesla and Elon Musk, and Elon Musk is obviously like just, you know, whether you like him or don't like him, the guy's doing some stuff that's never even been done before, but he's phenomenal. And then Tesla don't have to do anything. Well, they do stuff, but they don't really have to market like such. So it just, yeah, it goes to show the difference there.
Yeah, and also the personal brand is, because you can have lots of different business interests, can't you? You know, if you're not entrepreneur. I mean, because I have like ministry and I've got the coaching business. But my Tom Blackman, I don't know if I have a Tom Blackman brand at all, but I suppose people know who I am and what I stand for and stuff like that. But in terms of ministry, I tend not to get too involved in too much of the content and stuff there. Because ministry is 8 to 10 really good people who help me run the business.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be always like, oh, hello, I'm talking about this today. Hello, I'm talking about that today. Because ministry is lots of people's community. Whereas my coaching is just me and a few people who work for me behind the scenes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, well, you've got the same with your mate, because you've got the Strong Collective, which is your coaching business, isn't it? As in, like yours, as in, and all the other coaches together. Mm. And then you've got the mentoring, which is, I think that's just you, right?
Yeah, we have got other people involved in it, but it is just me as the person behind it. Mm. And then even with the coaching, we've got the other coaches. And I suppose we're that position where. It's whether you relate those people to that brand, I suppose, but that's kind of maybe a topic for another day. Mm. Just because it falls underneath that umbrella, and I think this is slightly different, because it was built off the back of a personal brand, which was me. So it was built off the old Dan Mac Fitness days, so that was like the brand that built up, and then we rebranded into this business as such. But I'm still very conscious of the personal brand being a big part of that. So to still have that as a core element is really important. And I think it just goes to show as well, like on, you can put stuff onto the business pages and stuff, but people don't ever connect anywhere near as much as what they would do through your personal account, like through there. So yeah, I suppose it is similar in a way.
Yeah, it's well, I suppose another way to look at it is that when someone comes and joins ministry, they don't expect me to be personal training them after they've joined. Yeah. And they don't expect to see me on the counter all the time because it's a business with lots of employees and everything else. Whereas in my mentoring, absolutely people are expecting to work with me because that's what they bought into.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that's important to understand that from a coaching perspective as well, though, because there's that transition period where I don't know if you've ever felt like this, but has it ever got to that point where people potentially are like, well, I want to actually come and work with you? Like, say they've come to join the gym and they're like, well, I thought Tom was going to be here doing all my PT session.
Well, at the beginning, so when we first opened, and this is before I was doing like coaching as another business, my only business was ministry. So I was the face of all the advertising and all the promotions, and I was always talking on, you know, social media and all that sort of stuff. And I wouldn't say people were expecting, because it's a gym, isn't it? You don't join a gym and then expect to have personal coaching. But people were expecting to see me there all the time. And I was there all the time because it was a startup. So I was there like 12 hours a day, you know, 7 days a week, pretty much. You know, I had one or two staff. You know, now I've got 8 staff. So I don't need to be on the counter. But I was always there. I was the face of the company. You come in, I would always be around, you know. And I suppose now, I suppose people are surprised when they come in and I'm not there, which is kind of weird for me, because obviously ministry is now a massive business with, you know, 8 staff or whatever. And, you know, I've got managers and all this sort of stuff. So, you know, I don't need to be there all the time. I do a lot of work from home here and I do a lot of work from my office upstairs. But people just, it's funny when people message me saying, talk about something, can I have a chat to you? I'm like, yeah, okay, that's fine. Yeah, I'll just pop in sometime. Okay, I probably won't be there though if you just pop in. You know, you actually have to make an appointment so that I know that I have to be at the gym to speak to you. Yeah, it is funny sometimes that that people don't, they expect me to be there all the time. But I say that's less of a problem now that the business is more established. But I suppose that's the importance of having the personal brand, isn't it? So people still expect ministry to be like following my ideals because I set it up. Me and Curtis, obviously my partner, we set it up, but they expect it to, like, it would never become a CrossFit gym, for example. It would never be a cut price, you know, pure gym type arrangement. It would never be that, because that's not what I'm about.
Yeah, I get that. That's probably core in terms of when we did the whole rebrand. It was like, right, so there's a process here of coming up with the values that we're all aligned on and aligned with, and then we've got the whole tone of voice document and everything has to kind of conform to these standards. And I think that if that wasn't there, then there's not anything holding it together in terms of like, this is the brand. Even though we've got coaches that do very different things and they all have their own individual personalities, I think it's important if you're trying to have that consistent brand that there's something that runs through it, some kind of thread keeping everything together.
I think that's interesting. So do you have a tone of voice document for you in mentoring?
Yes, it's slightly different to the one that we've got for the coaching as well. Yeah.
Because that's interesting, isn't it? Like you said about if you've got employees, it's important to have that statement, or employees or people who work within the company. It's important to have that. This is our message. This is how we function. Yeah. Whereas your personal brand, you know, because it's you, it's like, well, I don't need a document to tell me how to behave.
Yeah, the only reason we've started to look at that is because with the mentoring, we've got other people involved now, but then we're also bringing others to help take some of that mentoring side of it as well. So that has to kind of be a core there. But they don't create content for us. They don't have to be doing anything along those lines. So it doesn't matter. They're just it's terrible. They're like integral parts, like huge parts of what we do, but they are very much business owners in their own rights, doing their own things. So we employ them to do parts of what we need for the coaching.
Like consultants.
Yeah. 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 But we are bringing in specifically, like Kel's coming in to do a little bit more on the mentoring side. So she needs to understand, okay, this is the process we run through. These are the things we look at. Here's how it works. Here's like tone of voice if you're creating content, because she started to use some of the branding and styles and the fonts we've got and the color schemes. So to understand that, if it's not done right, then everything looks off and it's like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
That kind of thing you got picked up at the beginning, right at the beginning, because this is what forced us to go through and look at that, because we're like, shit, this doesn't look right. So then we had to go, shit, let's go and revisit it.
Yeah. So developing a brand voice and tone is I suppose crucial, isn't it? It's obviously, yeah. as personal coach or personal people, you know, we don't just say whatever's on our mind, because if we did, probably, you know, a lot of people would get upset. So we always have our private personal thoughts, but what we put out as our personal brand is always in line with a certain how we want to run our business, how we want to coach our business.
Yeah, how you want to be perceived, and also the people you want to be attracted to, because then you're going to hopefully align with people's shared values and align on those similar personality traits. But and that's individual, isn't it, to each person, because there's some people out there who are probably a little bit more outspoken, opinionated, which is fine. But I do think once you have a personal brand, you have to be expected in a way to, you don't have to be all like singing, dancing out in your face, but you have to have some kind of substance, because how will you then stand out amongst everyone else who's out there?
Yeah, and also it's important that your personal brand doesn't deviate too much from your personality. Because you see people saying, you know, you see people online and you go, oh, that guy is such a dickhead, you know. It's like, and then someone says, yeah, but actually in person he's okay or she's okay. Like, yeah, so why are they a dickhead online then? Why do they come across as a dickhead online, you know?
Or it's only the other way around.
Yeah.
Well, that guy's all right online. Well, maybe in person he's all right. Person,
yeah. but if you're, I've always tried to be as much online and in the podcast and in the videos and everything else, I've always tried to be as much my own personality there, you know, as much as I can without offending certain groups. Because I find I wouldn't want to have to pretend to be somebody when I meet some, you know, when you see people at like shows or like convention, you don't want to go, oh, sorry, I've got to be like the online coach now, you know, put your face on for it.
It's hard work, isn't it? Do you know what I think? I think it'd be just incredibly tiring to be this fake person. And it happens, doesn't it? I know you'll know some people. I've definitely met some people. I'm like, you are nothing like you are online.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe people don't say that about me. I hope not. But I try to not. I'm definitely not. Don't hide anything back. I probably put way too much more online than most people anyway. So. You know, people who are like, who know who my wife is and our dog and everything, and you're like, okay, cool, and maybe that's too much, I don't know, but I'm happy with it.
I think it helps people connect with you, doesn't it, you know?
Yeah.
If they've got dogs, people like dog people, don't they? Okay, so moving away from brand, tone and voice, I think the other thing we talked about was having a unique selling proposition, a USP. About your brand, your coaching, what you do, because there's so many people who are sort of like churning out templated profiles, isn't it? And it's, you know, when you see you can tell who people that you can tell that there's five or six people who work with the same like guru coach guy, because they've all got the same type of templated profile. That the I help statement is always the same sort of stuff. You know, it's their content they put out is always the same, because the guru guy is or girl is telling them to, this is what you need to post this week. And there's just no USP there, is there? It's all the same.
I've got a real kind of mixed, I don't know what it is, opinions, because there is this, there's this trend now, isn't there, of, oh, well, you know, sign up for our thing and we'll create you X amounts of piece of content and we'll deliver it every month and you get free fucking Canva and whatever. Brilliant. Like, okay, cool. If you're going to save me some time, but then, and then they go, well, these are, you know, you still have to tweak them to your voice and your language. But how do you know what that is? If you're, because most people are just going to go, oh, wow, just keep it as it is. Sounds really good. But then what you're doing then is it doesn't actually really sound like you. It might sound good. It doesn't, it's not you. It's not you who have written that. So I'm of this big kind of confliction around templates. And we have like Brett, who does the copy and helps out with a copy for the coaches. We'll create structures and different templates every month for the coaches. But they're very much like, not just like fill out these blanks. You have to go and think a little bit for yourself and actually go and research and do some stuff and then put it in. And he'll happily look over that and critique it. But there's not like, just replace this word or just take one of these and cross it out, like, which I think a lot of them are like that.
And I think that's the thing. And what the problem is, if you're trying to fit a square peg in a round hole, okay, so it almost fits, but it's not quite right. So then you've got to get your chisel out and just, you know, cut it until it fits. But it's never going to be a perfect fit, is it?
Yeah.
But if you design that from the start to be a circular thing to fit in this round hole, it's going to have a much better fit.
Yeah.
So I'm all in favor of like templates as here's how to build content, but it has to be, you have to put your own ideas into it. So here's the sort of the blueprint and you fill your ideas into it rather than here's something, now just retrofit it for your coaching.
Yeah, just cross out what you don't want and then post that. Because there's nothing worse than when you see someone who you might think, you know, you see some of that, you might see their content quite a lot, and then all of a sudden this piece, you're like, well, that's a bit weird. They normally like have these kind of words in there. And it just doesn't feel right. And you could, I think maybe because I'm in that world too much, I can probably see that. But I mean, maybe the normal person can't see it, but I do see that sometimes.
Probably not. Probably because if you think about it, we're in a very sort of little bubble because me and you follow loads of coaches follow us. So we see a lot of the same sort of content, you know, so we see a lot of calorie deficit type stuff and like recipe swaps and all that sort of stuff. We see all that sort of stuff coming through. But actually, if you're someone who isn't in the fitness space, you might only follow two or three like fitness coaches.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So they might not see that. So I can see why that stuff would work. But again, here's the thing. When you're, say if someone comes up to you at a conference or something like that, and they start talking to you, and they say, oh, I really like that post you did about this, that thing, and go, that wasn't my post. I just copied it from someone. You know, you don't know what they're talking about. You can't recall the post because you didn't write it. So then it becomes a bit awkward, doesn't it? Where you're like, oh, yeah, okay, what do you like a lot about it? Trying to get your phone out to try and find the post to see what it was.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird one. I think, like I said, there's a place for some stuff like that, as long as it's then really refined into your language, because otherwise it just stands out. I remember at Christmas time, I would go through people's stories and I saw the same copy on people's stories. There was this thing, obviously someone had come out of it around that time saying, you know, and it was exactly the same, just copy and pasted. And then the next day, it was like over a series of days, and the next day it was like the next bit. And then I flicked over and it was on the same story of someone else's. I was like, oh, someone must be doing this new thing, like do the rounds.
What 7 day story like posting?
Yeah, it was like, oh, we've had so much interest and we thought that we would then, you know, put out a few more spaces, so hopefully. And it was all like, it was really kind of geared around scarcity and urgency around that time of year, but it was weird to see it on different people's stories, so.
All the same copy.
I know where it came from as well. I know the place it came from.
Really? Oh, tell me off air. But I mean, that's because there's a lot of templates like that, isn't it? There was sort of like, here's your 7 day posting template for like launching an offer or something like that. There's like, here's what to write on those days. And I've never liked that because it's sort of like, I never copied those sorts of things. I've seen those templates and I've edited it into my own sort of words and stuff like that and changed a few things. But I've never copied it word for word because it just doesn't feel right. But I think, like you said, some people they just want it done, don't they? Says, oh, that'll do. I'll just copy it out.
Yeah. And you know, if it works, maybe it works, but it's just weird to see it. We have like a whole pre-launch sequence, which is it's very much like, here's some structure and here's what you need to go away and write now, because you need to be able to fill this gap with your own story about this thing that's happened or whatever. It's not just like, here's all the text for you. So there's a little bit of work in there. And I think as well, maybe like, I don't know, shooting myself in the foot, but some coaches don't want to do the work anymore. maybe that's the place that we've got to.
And I think you're right there, because there's I see a lot of talk about how you can like reduce your hours, how you can automate stuff. And there's this big thing, isn't it, about, you know, scaling up and automating this and automating that. And yeah, automations are great. You know, they're great if you've got email responders, that sort of stuff, but you can't automate everything. And if you do, it does come across as a little bit robotic and a little bit unpersonal. But yeah. I think what this comes down to is a topic you'll love about, is about, you know, the 10K, 15K month things, where it's like, how do you get to that? Oh, well, you just got to do all these things to automate it and reduce how much coaching you actually do and only coach people who actually need, you know, a chat, that sort of thing. You know, it becomes more of a process, like a factory churning out stuff, rather than a creative process where you're helping people.
Yeah. I wrote something on this last night. I get random flirts of inspiration, and it was on, like, at what point did everything start having to be scaled? Has that always been a thing, or is it just like, I feel like there was a certain shift in time where things were like, everything scaled, like, you need to be scaling your business, this is what you need to do to do this and scale it to the moon. And I was just like, I just don't ever remember that being such a thing, like, but it's seems to be out there now. This is a huge thing. And then there's this pressure on coaches to be like, I need to scale. And I've actually had calls, not so much recently, because I think we like farm these people out of our audiences, the calls where they've gone, I just want to scale. I'm like, what do you mean? Yeah, I just want to scale everything. I'm like, okay, tell me what you do at the moment. Well, I just got an Instagram page. I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. Like, you literally have heard the word and you're like, that sounds really cool, I want to do that. You have no idea. But
I think because scale is associated with more money, isn't it? So there's the revenue versus the actual profit, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the amount of money it takes to scale up a certain level, you have to get a certain amount of clients in order to see the profit from that, because you've got to invest money into the scaling aspect of it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people talk about getting you to this man, like 10K a month, 12K a month figure. But what is entailed getting to there? If you've got to spend 10K a month to make 12K, and you're only making, like, you know, and you had the same margins before, is that worth doing? Is that extra work worth doing? Yeah. And we've gone off tangent a bit there again. Cool. Okay, other things about brand. Creating a strong visual identity. Then this is not just logos, is it? Because logo isn't the brand.
No. I've got a logo and a color scheme. Cool. That's not a brand, is it? I think the brand's like everything, isn't it? It's also how it's perceived, how people how other people see you as well, like, and the way it's communicated, everything gets involved in that brand, not just the logo. And that chart makes me laugh. It's another tangent. It's about where people go, like, I've got custom branded recipe books. You're like, they're not custom branded, are they? They're not, like, they're just, you've taken your logo and just changed the color on them. It's not
white label.
Yeah, not a brand, is it? It's not branded. It's just, you change that. Branding is a huge aspect. And that rebrand we did took 6 months. It was huge, like, to go through all that process. But yeah, I wouldn't even say it's something that I wouldn't even have thought about doing that, right? You don't need to do stuff like that at the beginning. Like, just build your own personal brand, and then you can get to a stage if you want to and do that.
And I think also that the colors, the logos, that sort of stuff has to fit what you're selling. So, for example, it'd be very weird if all of a sudden, like, you're, because you've got nice sort of pastel colors and, you know, nice images and that sort of stuff. Imagine if all of a sudden that branding was for a hardcore bodybuilding coaching coach. It just wouldn't work, would it? You know, here with the Strong Collective, we're now doing competition prep, and you know, and all, you know, it just wouldn't work. And the same for, you know, the other way. See, the colors, the words, even the fonts and stuff like that have to fit the what you're selling. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it took us ages to find a font. We, like, our fonts, we had to pay for them. And I knew the style that I wanted, but then it was like, it just couldn't find them. And then we've got them now. They've got the best name ever as well. Like, Galano Grotesque. I fucking love it.
Really? we went through so many fonts for the build rebranding. It was a nightmare. And but do you know what the funny thing is? We went through all this stuff, and actually for our main body font, we settled on Montserrat because it was just, it just looked right with the other with the other two weird ones. Yeah. So just weird. But yeah, that branding would not fit with what I used to do, say 5 years ago, when it was more sort of competitive bodybuilding and more hardcore training and lifting tough in the gym and that sort of stuff. It just wouldn't fit now. So I think it's really important that, you know, that's something people consider. It's not just about going and getting a Google font and that'll do.
No, I mean, I used to have the classic like barbell in the logo. You know, everyone's going to be a PT or whatever, and then you get logo just with a barbell somewhere in it.
Yeah.
I used to really like that logo, but it's no more. Do you know how many people try to steal it and rip it off? Just people would mess with me. Oh, are you doing this now? I'm like, no. And it's just someone had like copied it and just like edited parts of it and whatever.
Really? We've had people trying to steal and copy the Ministry logo. Ministry of Fitness is trademarked. The whole logo, the brand, everything else is all trademarked. And we've had people try to pass it off as something else. And thankfully, they've been stopped by the trademark office before they got even further. But yeah, it's, when you've got a good logo, people want to sort of like swipe it a little bit, don't they?
Yeah, we had trademarked it after that happened. But it was like Dan Mac Fitness, and they just took the Dan off, and it was Mac Fitness. And I wouldn't have minded if you'd done a bit more to it, but they've not even put any work into it. Yeah, classic.
And I suppose that brings me on to another point, doesn't it? Is if you're going to have a logo, don't copy what someone else has done and just tweak it a little bit for your, because if that person's more established, your logo is always going to be associated with them.
Yeah,
and you won't stand out as a unique brand.
Yeah, I think it's a difficult one, isn't it? They change, hopefully will change over time. But this logo is, we can put this out. I remember within like the first few days, someone messaged me saying, it's, "Hi, have you seen the Aura Ring logo?" And I was like, "No." "Well, it looks similar to that one." I was like, "Well, it's tough now, it's done. Plus, it's not the same." Anyway. Yeah, fun.
Okay, right, let's what other things do we have in our list? Okay, here's a good one. The role of storytelling in building our brand. So there's a really good book. I think I've got it on either, just looking at my bookshelf over there, but there's a book called Building a Story Brand. Have you read that one?
No, I think I've heard of it though.
It's really worth having a read. Well, I think I listened to it on Audible actually, but it's really worth having a listen or a read of that book. I wouldn't take it and copy it, as in, like, you know, build your brand and stuff around it. But what it was talking about was having the way that client transformations are built around, like, certain stories, like for example, Star Wars. The story around Star Wars is also how people transform their lives in terms of coaching. So then, and the story basically is, you've got the hero suffers a tragedy or a problem that they can't overcome. Yeah, so Luke Skywalker, and his aunt and uncle get killed, and he wants revenge upon the Empire, but he can't get it because he doesn't know what to do. In comes the guide, Obi-Wan Kenobi, who has the tools to give them, to give Luke, to be able to enact that revenge. And then they go on an adventure together, but Luke is the hero, and Luke does all the stuff. He destroys the Death Star at the end. And that's the sort of the, when you relate it, it's like, well, that's actually how coaching works. You know, you've got, someone who's wants to lose weight, they can't do it. They've tried loads of times, they can't do it. There's something in their way. In comes the guide, the coach, who has the magical abilities to give them to in order to lose weight. And they go on a journey together, have adventures. And then at the end, the hero has lost all the weight and looks great.
That's emotional, that.
Yeah, do you like that? Yeah. That's 10p admission.
I never really thought of it. I've heard the whole Disney thing before. Like all the Disney
The Disney story and stuff like that as well. There's all these different things, isn't there? Yeah.
But yeah, it makes sense. I think storytelling should be integral anyway in parts of that business. Mm. But I get what you meant. So we build a lot of our client stuff now is around, because we moved away from before and after pictures, and we all kind of aligned on like, this is what we're going to do. And we even changed the terminology that we use for transformations. We don't call them that anymore. And they were geared around like revelations. So like client revelations and building it around that. I get what you mean in terms of like telling the story, because that part of it is the huge bit. Even if you just have like an amazing before and after picture, the story is the what people are going to connect with. That's just the wow factor, isn't it? And then the story should be.
Because if you've got the before and after pictures, right, you've got potentially two stories there, haven't you? So you've got they start off in out of shape and they got into really good shape. Okay. So you've got the first story where they were given like chicken and broccoli 5 times a day, you know, protein in the morning, 4 a.m. cardio. And they did that for 6 to 8 weeks. And all of a sudden at the end, they're shredded and they're happy in their photos anyway. So that's the first story, isn't it? But then what you don't see after that before and after picture is that they gain all the weight back again. Yeah. But the before and after just shows the what's happened.
Yeah.
And then the other story is obviously the stuff that we promote is about, you know, sensible eating and training and confidence and all that sort of stuff. So they continue that afterwards. So it's really important that you get the story about how that transformation occurred, so people know what they can expect from your coaching. It's just not enough to go, here's before, here's after, they lost this much weight. That's not a story, that's just facts.
Yeah.
That's like reading a dictionary or an encyclopedia, isn't it? This is what happened. Yeah.
And we just explained stories form the backbone of pretty much every kind of human, like the way that humans interact with stories is gone on for thousands of years. So why would you not intake that really amazing piece of marketing and just put it into your content somewhere or another? And I think there is maybe an element of not knowing how to do that, but then there's also an element of like, that's more work. I've got to put more work into that. I've got to actually now go and tell the story of this person. Why can't I just put picture, lost 20 kilos, good job. Like, I don't know. Put a little bit more work into it, you'll get more from it.
And I know we've talked about before and after pictures before in a previous podcast about how sometimes the before and after pictures, if they're really that good, can put people off because it's like, well, I don't believe I can do that. And people will always, well, not always, but people sometimes associate with an extreme change with extreme diets because that's what they've experienced in the past.
Yeah.
So I think that's why it's really important to get that story. Is, do you know how they did this? They didn't cut out foods they like. They didn't do this. They didn't do this. All we did was this, this, and this. And they're really happy at the end of it.
Yeah.
Rather than they're in misery because they're only eating 2 calories a day.
But and also to get your story, just to go back into this a little bit more through the branding side of it, have your story run through that brand. So there is an element of like, hey, because people obviously want to know about you and your journey and what things you've been through, why you're at that position there. So don't be afraid to share that a little bit. Like I think putting your own personal story is important.
Yeah, so your experiences like previously in your life might come into that as well.
Yeah.
You know, like because I know me and you have both done extreme type of diets. You know, we never want our clients to go through that sort of thing. But also from a coaching perspective, we've both been on the receiving end of, let's say, bad advice of how to grow our business, which has sort of shaped how we do our coaching now, isn't it? We don't want our clients to go through that.
No.
We've got about 5 minutes left, so we've got let's see, look at our list, because obviously because we're a professional podcast, we have a list of stuff that we talk about. I think actually, Dan, we've done the one thing we haven't done is leveraging social media, but I think we've talked about that enough on previous podcasts and other things about how to create content, how to to get our message across. I think we've done that on previous podcasts, so maybe we don't need to delve into that one too much.
Yeah, so that could be a whole thing, actually, leveraging social media.
I'm pretty sure we have done what social media platforms to use as well.
Yeah. The only other thing I'd say is to I should have mentioned this earlier, but is to stop. I mean, this is for online coaching, but stop selling online coaching, because it's just that's what everyone is selling. Yes. I forget, this ties into your unique proposition or whatever USP, yeah. But or your unique method. But if you just stop, just anything else but online coaching, you'll find it so much easier. And I know people go, yeah, but that's what I do. I'm like, yeah, I'm not saying you need to do something completely different. Still do that, but come up with your own method, your own way of doing things, and maybe your own structure for how you coach people. And you might think that that's nothing special, but it will stand out compared to just going, oh, I help busy mums lose 20 pounds without giving up the foods they love. Online coach, like, just change it.
Yeah. I think we talked about this on, I think we have talked about this before, about like, should you say I help, or should you say, you know, this is what I do. And also the online coach thing, I 100% agree with you on that one, because in this day and age, this present we're living in, you know, who is expecting people not to be online? You know, I mean, I know there are people obviously that you would see in person, like if you go for an operation with a doctor or surgeon, you would have to, that's not online, is it? That's not online surgery. Not yet anyway. But, you know, coaching in terms of like fitness coaching and what we do, the mentoring, you know, I would say the 99% of that is now online. You know, yeah. You expect it to be online. You know, if you have a bank, you expect there to be online banking, you know, this sort of thing. You expect in a certain way to have an app if you're going into your gym, that sort of thing. So all this stuff is taken for granted. You don't need to say, I'm an online coach. You know, you just need to say, I am a coach. And this is what I do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not that. And plus, no one really still doesn't know what online coaching is. So people got different ideas of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you don't need to say I'm an online coach. People understand that that's a given, I think, in this day and age. You don't need to state it.
Yeah. That's my life. That was one point I was in my head. That was it.
But cool.
All good.
Nice. So we got through, I think it was about 7 points then. So that we've hit our Everything Ends in a Seven target for the business coaching podcast. Everything has to end in a seven. And so we've got to finish this on 57 minutes. So I think we're nearly there, or 47. Dan, quickly, where can people find you? Online.
Online anywhere. Apart from not on OnlyFans yet, so maybe soon.
I had an email today, and it was like some coaching platform, and it says, this is like OnlyFans but for coaches. I was like, what? Why would you even start your email like that? I immediately just clicked it off.
Weird.
So, Strong Collective, or was
yeah,
it Dan?
Anyway, Strong Collective. Dan Strong Collective. Yeah.
Cool. And Tom Bill, mine is Tom Blackman Coach now on Instagram. And Tom Blackman on YouTube. In fact, it's Tom Blackman most places. So if you do search Tom Blackman on a social media platform, you probably find me there.
Yes. Great. Yes. Nice.
Okay. Right, we're coming up to 47 minutes, so we've got to finish. Dan, I'll speak to you next week. Have a great week.
See you later.